Welcome to Rediscover, where we embark on a journey to rediscover Jesus
and how he continues to transform our hearts. I'm Kara.
And I'm Darby. And today we're going to be talking about
something.
We don't know yet, but we're going to start off by talking about what we rediscovered this past week. We haven't seen each other in a couple weeks.
No, so we have a lot of thoughts, mm-hmm. and we haven't told each other all of our thoughts, so we're excited to talk about them together.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear what she has to say.
So, the first thing that, well, here's the thing. I felt like there's a few things that I wanted to share about what I've rediscovered. Hopefully they come up later in our podcast, but one that I feel like I really want to share and talk a little bit about is I feel like I rediscovered the magnitude of the temple. And not even that I went to the temple, I need to go to the temple. This more like solidified that I need to spend more time in the temple. But we had state conference this week in my ward, and the temple president spoke for just like a very short moment.
The temple president of the Timonoges
Temple? Of the Timonoges Temple, I'm pretty sure. If not a neighboring temple, so Draper, Timonoges.
Okay.
But probably Tim. And he said this, and I thought it was so cool. He said, "I know that some of you think that your life outside the temple is real. And it's true. It can feel like that. Life outside the temple, it's hard, it's difficult, it's painful, it feels real. But I can promise you that it all decays. It all dies. But what is really real is what takes place within the walls of the temple. That is life. That is eternal. That is real." And that, like, shook my world. I was like, yes, that is what is real, is mm-hmm. what happens in those walls, not what happens outside. Because I love that he talked about, like, everything outside of those four walls decays and dies, but nothing inside there does, which I thought was really beautiful.
That is so cool.
Doesn't that make you feel like you need to get to the temple right now?
Yeah, it does. Yes. Let's go. See ya.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
It was so beautiful.
Like, it just, I think that goes back to, was it our last podcast about the worldly things?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of is, like, again, like, even from the last time we had this conversation, I've found myself back in, like, and probably you too, like, thinking sometimes of worldly things, worldly desires.
Totally.
And it's just a reminder that. Like, yes, we're put on this earth for a reason, and, like, kind of how we were talking about, we make mistakes, things happen, but this is what's real, the temple.
Yeah, and even today I was talking to my husband, Sterling, and we were, like, so stressed about money, and we're talking about, like, how to budget and how to, like, do better savings plans and all these things. Like, those are important, and that's real, but, like, what's even more important is for me and Sterling just to keep our covenants. And, too, in this, like, in the same state conference, actually, my aunt, she talked for just a minute. She gave her testimony, and she said, "I don't keep my covenants. I cleave to them." And I was like, oh, I love that. Just like,
that's fine.
It's like having a vision of just like, you know, just gripping my covenants. Like, I just do not want to let go. I love that. And it's like, that's what really matters, like, above all things. And I'm just realizing I need to be better, even in my, like, marriage, of realizing that, like, above all, like, above money and the stress and school and whatever, it's, like, my covenants need to be what I'm most focused on, you know, myself and with my husband.
Yeah.
It's kind of a side note.
No, I love that. That kind of ties into my, what I was going to share.
Oh, good.
For my, what I rediscovered this week. So I have this friend that I met on my sales team this summer. And my boss had reached out to me during the summer, and he was like, "Will you invite this person to church?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." And so I did, and he's been coming ever since. And he's a member, but he hasn't been active for I don't even know how long. Like, I actually don't know. But I think it's been a while. I know he did baptisms one time, but, yeah, it's just been a while. So, he came to church with me last week to my ward, and we, like, met the missionaries, and we were like, let's have a lesson with them. Mm-hmm. So on Wednesday, it's now Friday. On Wednesday, we had a lesson and I had the opportunity to bear my testimony. The elders like asked some sort of question to us, me and my roommates, something about like, why do we stick with like this church?
Oh, I love that.
And what came to my mind was, for one, the Book of Mormon, but I just found myself like talking about the temple and how like grounding it is, and how like throughout the summer, for anyone who's never done sales, it's like the hardest thing I've ever done. It was harder than my mission, which is crazy because your mission is so hard.
Yeah, geez.
But it's just, there are so many challenges and you're alone. Like, you're in a completely different state than your family and just so hard. And looking back, like, someone's biggest worry is if they can actually do it.
Yeah.
Is what people are usually worried about when doing sales. And looking back, I know that the only reason I was able to get through it was because I went to the temple every week.
Oh,
and like
that.
I think we talked about this. It literally just grounded me.
Yes.
To the Lord. Like, it helped me not lose sight of what is real, mm-hmm. and what's important. Like, the money is awesome, but that's not like my priority.
Yeah.
And I think that's when the Lord blesses us spiritually and temporally, is when we can like focus on Him. And that's happens when we're in the temple, because it's real. It's not, it's just like, there's like no words to describe the feelings of the temple and when you're in the temple.
Because it literally is heavenly. This, I already talk about him a lot, but this temple president, what he also said was, he said, you know how the prophets and apostles have prophesied and have said that the veil is parted. He's like, I can testify. Actually, he said, I am not going to testify. I am a witness that every day in the temple, the veil parts. And I love that. I feel like that is why it is like beyond description, is because it's like beyond this world. It is a place where heaven and earth are. It's the passage between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what's so cool, is that it's not, it's like an in-between place.
Mm.
It's not like being in earth, and it's not like being in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of the in-between, which is a really cool place to be. And I think that's why we get so much revelation and answers and feel grounded and can connect back to the Lord, because that's the closest we can get to Him in this life, is at the temple.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I need to get to the temple.
Yeah, I need to get to the temple too. It's like crazy because since I've been home, I've only gone to the temple once, and I've been home from the summer for like a month, which isn't like me. Like I just said, I went to the temple every single week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw my story about this. I was talking about this on my Instagram story about how I was like super consistent, because I like I said, I needed to go to the temple.
Yeah.
Like I needed it so bad. I needed the Lord every day, or else I literally couldn't survive. And, but coming home, it's just, like, I don't feel like I need it anymore. And one of my other bosses, I'm blessed to have very, like, spiritual managers and,
gift.
Like, leaders. It's the biggest blessing in my life. But he responded to my story, and he was, like, his wife. No, both of them. They both responded. And they were, like, we feel the exact same way, because, like, you're cleaving. You have to cleave onto the Lord in such a hard situation. And then you get home and you're chilling. And my manager said, that's the real test.
And it's what you do when you get home.
Is what you do when you get home.
Just like a mission. What do you do when you get home.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, when you were talking, I just recently met this man out of nowhere. I was driving to do some errands.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed this man like selling flowers on the side of the road. And it was like, help me and my family, we need money. And I was like, oh, I like flowers, so go help this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like rummaging through my purse, and I found like some dollar bills. And I was like, okay. And so I turned around, and I was going to go see this guy. Probably like 30 seconds had passed. That was it. I turned around, and he was gone. Disappeared. I was like,
what?
What? And then I keep driving, and then I see this other guy who I didn't notice before. And it was this man, this older man in a wheelchair. obviously homeless, and the spirit was like, no, him. And I was like, am I supposed to give him the dollars that I pulled out for this other guy? And I was like, kind of stuck. And then the Lord was like, no, you need to give him something better than that. And I was like, what do you want me to give him? And then I was actually headed to Desert Book. And so I had the prompting of give him a Book of Mormon. And I was like, okay. So I went to Desert Book and I bought this guy a Book of Mormon. And then I went out and I parked like close to him. He's in the Walmart parking lot. And I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I have something for you. And I had written this little message. And anyways, we got talking for a while, and he was actually a member of the church. And he's like, I have one of these. And I was like, well, here's another one. You can give it to somebody. But I realized the real reason was for me why I went there. And we were talking for a while, and he's like, I need to tell you something. And I was like, yes, Roger, tell me what you need to tell me.
Please, Roger, tell us. Roger. I need to know now. Tell it.
He said, you want to know what converted me to this gospel? And I was like, yes. He said, when I was 18 years old, the missionaries impressed me to read the Book of Mormon. And I read it, and I prayed, and he said, and I knew it was true. And he told me, he's like, he's probably like 70 now. He's like, there's been multiple times in my life where I have tried to debunk the church. I've tried to leave it. I've tried to say it's not true. But he told me, he's like, it's not that I wouldn't, but I could not. He's like, I could not leave, and I will not ever leave because of that witness I received of the Book of Mormon. And I think that is so beautiful. It's like made me think a lot, like, what are the things in my life, those like testimony blocks that make it so I can say, I could not, like, I could never, like Roger says.
Yeah.
And I think of like the temple, like we're talking about, and the Book of Mormon, and the opportunity I had to serve a mission. Like, there's just certain moments in my life that I could not deny the truthfulness of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Christ's gospel because of a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, for sure the Temple and the Book of Mormon are a huge one.
Oh my gosh.
Roger. But yeah, he was so cute. He was so sweet.
He sounds so precious. That is so cool.
Yeah, he was a cool man.
I like that idea of, like, I think I need to go through my thoughts and pick these things out of my mind that are, my mind is going a million miles an hour all the time, I feel like. And so I think I need to think about those times that I've had where I cannot deny the Lord and what he's done for me and the experiences that I've had with him.
What is one of yours? Do you have one at the top of your head? A moment?
A moment where I can't deny. Yes. Here it is. A moment where I could not deny. This is something where I couldn't deny what the Lord had told me.
Yeah.
Let's. Hello? Okay. A moment where I couldn't deny what the Lord had told me. We've talked about this a little bit. Where, like, when I was in high school, I was a senior and I was in a place where I was not making, like, the best decisions. I wasn't, like, I was never, like, bad. Like, I never got into drugs or alcohol or anything. Yeah. But I just wasn't going to church. And I was putting these worldly things above the Lord. And one thing led to another. I had this, like, really strong impression at church one day. And after that day, I'd committed. Well, not maybe I should. I don't know. So many are coming to my mind now.
Hey, tell us all of them.
Long story short, I went to this party on like a Friday night. People were drinking, and like I remember walking in, and I felt the spirit like leave, which is so interesting because I wasn't like actively going to church. Like I wasn't reading my scriptures. I wasn't praying. I definitely was not going to the temple. I don't even know the time, the last time I'd been to the temple before that. I had recently got my patriarchal blessing, though, at that moment.
That's awesome.
But I knew the spirit was gone. And I was, like, fighting. It felt like I literally had an angel and a devil on each shoulder,
oh,
like, throughout the whole night. Like, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I leave? Should I stay? And eventually we leave. And I told my friend, I was like, that was terrible. Yeah. And then the next night she went back to that same person's house and I didn't go. And this friend was kind of like coming back to church at this time. And she came back the second night and told me that the same thing happened to her. And then I went to church the next day. And I hadn't been to my ward in a while. Mind you, I'm a senior. And this was at the time where the new young women's theme had just come out.
Oh, awesome.
And this phrase that I'm about to say is in the old one, too. But I remember we were reading it, and it said, I will stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places. And the craziest thing happened. I swear to you, I had, like, this vision, like, come over my mind. And I saw, like, my whole high school experience. And, like, I could pinpoint each time where I was, like, super sad, like, super depressed, like, not okay. And the Lord, like, so clearly showed me that all those moments where I was really struggling, he was not my priority. Mm-hmm. And not to say, like, depression is a whole other, like, conversation.
Yeah.
But he clearly showed that to me. And this was at a moment, too, where I was really, like, not okay. And so I knew that that if I were to put the Lord first, that I would be okay. And I went home. Actually, no, I didn't go home after that. I drove somewhere, like, in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I just, like, prayed. And I committed that day to go to church every Sunday, to go to Mutual every Wednesday, and to, like, stay active in seminary. And that changed my whole life. And I actually met the guy's house who I was at that night. I met his girlfriend the other day. And she's like, do you remember him? And I was like, oh my gosh. That night changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And after that, I had so many experiences. That was in the month of November, like 5 years ago. I had so many experiences where the Lord spoke so clearly to me, and that led to me figuring out, well, the Lord telling me to serve a mission, and it was the clearest, like, I could not deny when the Lord had told me to go on a mission. And maybe that's a story for a different time, but I could, like, there were so many moments where he, like, clear, things that other people were saying that were answers to my prayers, that's my beautiful unspoken prayers, that I could not deny. And I can't deny now.
I love that. I love those moments. I feel like when I was thinking about back to that question of, like, what are my I could not deny kind of blocks, one of them was personal revelation. Because I feel like when we receive personal revelation, especially, I feel like it's really cool. Personal revelation definitely comes to all of us in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just have, like the burning in their chest kind of feeling, or like a thought into their mind, or hear a voice, or hear it from another. But it's like, when it comes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a beautiful gift from God, and such a testament of him telling us, like, I love you. I see you. I know you. And I care about you. You know, so much so that, like, when I tell you this, you're going to know it was from me. And I think that's so cute. I feel like there's so many times in my life, like, God has just, like, put a stamp on it or just signed his name. Like, that was me. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's so many moments in my life I can just, like, see his signature, like, just written across that memory because it was 100% him.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, too, I feel like the reason why I served a mission was 100% because of a prompting from Heavenly Father. And in a time when I really needed his help and really needed a different path, I think it's beautiful that God a lot of times really appears to his youth. You know, I saw him come to my life when I was a youth of, like, which way are you going to go, Kara? You can go this way and follow me, or you can go this way and follow the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. Guys, we're having technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps turning off.
Completely turning off, and my camera overheated.
Super weird.
This has never happened before.
No, never.
Super weird. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I think I was just saying how, well, actually what I feel like I should actually share. I think we were talking about missionaries and, like, I want my missionaries to know that they're going to be okay.
Yes.
But when the camera turned off, Kara and I said a prayer because it was just turning off. It was super weird. And I had, like, this really strong impression as you were praying that, like, whoever's watching this needs to know how deeply the Lord loves them. Like, whoever you are watching this, He knows you perfectly, and He cares for you so deeply, and He created you. He literally made you and your personality and your talents and your features and everything about you. And I think we said this on either the first or second episode, but that is, like, the most important thing for us to know is how much He loves us. And Satan wants so bad for that to be deceived.
Yeah.
For that idea to be skewed. And kind of tying it full circle, I know that as we're in the temple, as we're reading the scriptures, it just solidifies not His love for us, but it solidifies us being able to feel that love. Because it's always there.
Always.
But we just need to feel it.
Yeah. I think we just want to say, don't give up on the Lord, because He'll never give up on you. And He loves you. And we love you guys. And we testify these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And thanks for watching.
We love you so much. Yes. And I'm going to extend an invitation. Kara was talking about, like, God's signature on our experiences, like, on anything, like, our lives. So think about how God has, like, written His signature on your life, and kind of ties back to gratitude too. That's what I'm going to think about this week when I'm driving home from this.
I love that.
We love you so much.
We love you guys.
Thanks for watching.
See you next time. Bye.